The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
All right, let's start off with a witch hunt update. Because that's really what we're talking about now. Everything's a witch hunt. What did you do in your past? What did that person do? Whatever they did is far worse than what I did, or maybe I'll act like I didn't do anything at all. That's pretty much the world we live in. We're just going after everybody. Sometimes for no reason. But the one thing I do know is there's not a whole lot of common sense. Hi there, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck today. Appreciate you joining us. Join me on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Please follow me. And throughout the program, if you want to chime in, just tweet at Doc Thompson Show or even use the hashtag What I Learned Today like we do during our morning broadcast on the Blaze Radio Network. Give you a quick update on the latest accusations of sexual inappropriate activities. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has been named in a sexual harassment lawsuit, not specifically against him. He's accused of ignoring sexual abuse in a state office. Lisa Catter says that he ignored former Empire State Devel Corp regional president Sam Hoyt's bad activities. See, she worked at the DMV and she said that during her time there, he would manipulate, sexually harass, and sexually assault her. She says she reported it to Andrew Cuomo's office at least six times. But they did nothing, even though it was within his power to do something. She says the sexual abuse included unwanted kisses, stalking, sexts, crotch grabs, daily calls, emails, and texts. She said they even paid her $50,000 in hush money, which she even broke the confidentiality agreement by mentioning that. If this is true, and it looks like it may have some teeth or truth to it, if she can prove this, and she probably can, where's the governor? I mean, he's a progressive. Why didn't you protect this woman, Andrew Cuomo? You've been quite outspoken against Donald Trump and others. Why didn't you support her? Six times? That doesn't sound like it's falling between the cracks. It sounds like you're ignoring it. Then there's Wes Goodman, a representative in the Ohio legislature. He has resigned. He was a Republican who was caught having sex with a man in his Columbus office. Yes, he has promoted anti-LGBTQ legislation. Apparently, his preference was known well around the state house in Columbus. Some are like, yeah, we all knew about that. It was kind of a joke. 2015, he was accused of inviting a teenage boy to his hotel room, the son of a Republican donor. The allegation is that while this boy slept, he pulled his zipper down. The boy got freaked out and fled. So he is now resigned. Then there's another Republican, former state senator Ralph Shorty. He has agreed to plead guilty to child sex trafficking. He offered to pay a 17-year-old boy for, quote, sexual stuff, not moose stuff, sexual stuff. That was last March. He is now scheduled to plead guilty on the 30th of the month. But, of course, that came out this weekend. And an update on Al Franken. Al Franken won't resign. That was breaking news today. A headline they led with. Al Franken won't resign. But instead, he's going to spend time reflecting during Thanksgiving. He'll be reflecting on what? On what he did? And some of us call that fantasizing? Reflecting on what? What are you talking about, reflecting? His spokesman said he is spending time with his family in D.C. and will be through the Thanksgiving holiday. And he's doing a lot of reflecting. I don't know if I'm his wife. I'm going, stop it. Stop reflecting. You're with me now. Stop reflecting on the kiss and the groping. So Al Franken is obviously taking this quite hard. By that, I mean difficult. This is obviously impacting him quite a bit. I mean, what with his reflecting, you know. See, here's the difference. Al Franken did it. Al Franken is not being called to resign by very many people, not by members of his own party. How many of them have you heard say, Al, you need to go away. Time to step down. How many Republicans has John McCain, has John Kasich come out and said he's not fit to serve? But they did against Roy Moore. Roy Moore's allegations are not proven. Does it look bad for him? Absolutely. Do I personally believe he did some shady things? Yeah, I do. But they're still just allegations. At least half of what the woman said happened to her on the USO tour in early 2000s is proven based on the photographic evidence. And those same people who called out Roy Moore have not called her out, have they? Or called out Al Franken, have they? Why not? Because the dirty little secret with all of this witch hunt stuff is that it's just political. These people don't care quite often about the victims. They're not interested in protecting women or any of the nonsense that they spew. They're doing it for political reasons. And you know that. And it's reprehensible. It's reprehensible because some people really have suffered. They've had horrible things happen to them. And now they're just a political football for people like John McCain, John Kasich, and Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Kristen Gillibrand, and a bunch of other people in D.C. It's sad that we have to say it this way, but unfortunately, most people are not getting this, so let's just bullet point it out. It's sad that we have to explain this, but unfortunately, we do. Number one, all assault and all harassment is wrong. It's all wrong. The sexual part isn't even that pertinent. I mean, it matters. If you're somebody who's gone through it, if that's what bothered you, if that was the problem, if that's what hurt you, sure. But assault is wrong. Sexual assault is still assault. Harassment is still harassment, even if it's not of a sexual nature. All sexual harassment is wrong. And by the way, number two, it's either assault or harassment. It's not both. And stop lumping the two together. Lumping the two together does a disservice to the people who suffered the worst. The example being, harassment could be something as little as somebody overheard you in the office say something that was of sexual nature, and you didn't like the joke. That could be considered sexual harassment. Ask your HR department, they'll tell you. Assault could be people who are gang raped. You're really putting those two things into the same category? So stop pretending it's all the same. What constitutes assault or harassment if it's unwanted? So if you don't want it, how about you speak up? How about you speak up and say, this is not right? If it continues, then pursue some other course of action. And by the way, if somebody does speak up, even if it's just somebody in your office that says, hey, you know, Steve, I really don't want to be around those jokes. I try to avoid them, but in situations like this where I have to be in here, can you just not tell the off-color jokes? And if somebody says that, maybe you not get so damn defensive and say, got it, I'll do my best. Thank you so much. And if somebody does say that, and if you stumble upon some sort of inappropriate comment, can you get over yourself and prioritize? It was a comment. You're not wounded forever by hearing a dirty joke. You don't like it? Fine, move on. And if it continues, fine, pursue that. Say that something's got to change. But most of the time, just move on. How dare you, when you overhear something inappropriate, a dirty joke, a comment you didn't like, classify yourself as a victim the same way somebody that's been raped? There's a difference between facts and allegations. Roy Moore, allegations at this point, looking pretty bad. Even some of the things that he said and his attorney said, where he's, well, I always ask their mom. Okay, you're kind of getting to that area of fact and proven. You're real close there, buddy. Fact, though, is photographic evidence of Al Franken giving a honk, honk, honk to the woman while she slept. There's a difference between fact and allegations. There's also a difference between public sector and private sector. Your recourse in the public sector is vote. And don't vote for people you don't like. In the private sector, vote with your dollars. We have to remember in all of this that all sin is bad. We all make mistakes. It's the degree of the mistake, the type of mistake, the appropriate punishment and repentance, or not, that is germane to the rest of the story. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We've all done things wrong. We've all been mean to somebody. We've been inappropriate in our own way, whether it's sexual or not. We've treated people poorly at some point in our life. It's the degree of the mistake. I said something dirty, or I raped somebody. Very different. The appropriate punishment that they receive, and whether or not the person is truly sorry and has repented. Do you think Al Franken, while reflecting, is truly sorry? Will there be any punishment for his true, obvious infraction? And finally, forgiving is a good thing. Hypocrisy is not. So if somebody has truly made a mistake, has truly made amends, has suffered whatever punishment, then let's forgive them and move on. If something is 40 years ago, again, if they prove that they are sorry and have made amends, we can move on. The final point of all of this is stop the character assassination for political reasons. Using this as a political football makes you as reprehensible as the people that you're blasting for making some sort of inappropriate action or comment. You are just as bad if you're making this a political football, not calling out people that you normally support because you support them, and only calling out people you don't like because you're trying to see them politically punished. Even if I agree with your agenda and we share the same ideas, I cannot support you unless you are calling out the people who you share the same ideology with when they do wrong. I'm going to open up the phone lines and get some of your comments coming up next. The number is 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. It's Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck today.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Really? Really? Joe Biden is doing a public service announcement against sexual harassment. Joe Biden, the former vice president, is on a public service announcement talking about inappropriate behavior. No, not promoting it. I mean saying it's wrong. Never should you raise a hand to a woman, ever. Joe, creepy old man rubbing up on every woman he sees, Biden is doing a public service announcement. Really? Really? You have lost your mind. He's doing it with Lady Gaga. Because that makes a lot of sense, too. All right, let me set the stage for you before we play this quick public service announcement from Joe Biden. Joe Biden is seated in what looks like a hotel room with Lady Gaga. And she's rubbing his shoulder and they're all close. Keep that in mind. That's what's actually happening while they're saying this. Here's the public service announcement. Joe Biden and Lady Gaga.
I'm here with not only a great friend, but a fierce advocate. Lady Gaga has been the voice for people who have been forgotten, people who have been abused. Until it happens to you, well, it happened to her. And she's shown enormous courage. And we want to make it real clear, it's on us, it's on everyone to intervene, to stop abuse when they see it and when they hear about it, to intervene. It's no man has a right to raise a hand to a woman for any reason other than self-defense, ever, period.
And that's not to leave out the men as well.
That's true.
I am a sexual assault survivor. And I know the effects, the aftermath, the trauma, psychological, physical, mental. It can be terrifying, waking up every day feeling unsafe in your own body. But we're here to remind you that it's important to reach out to someone in your life that you can trust and to know that they will be there to help you. There will be someone to listen. Because you know what? It's on us.
Really? What's next? Hillary launching a public service campaign about the dangers of Libya? Is that your next PSA? That's the next liberal PSA that's coming? Is Colin Kaepernick going to explain proper U.S. flag code? Are Corrine Brown and William Jefferson teaming up for an anti-government corruption PSA? Is that what's coming tomorrow? Joe Biden on a PSA discussing what is inappropriate behavior around women is like Harvey Weinstein in a campaign promoting carpal tunnel awareness and water conservation. It's like Jeffrey Dahmer discussing the benefits of a vegan lifestyle. It's like Monica teaching proper techniques for laundering formal wear. Joe Biden warning against sexual harassment assault is like Al Franken warning against sexual harassment and assault. It's like Larry Craig discussing the ills of public displays of affection. It's like Bill Cosby and George Takei promoting dating safety tips. It's like John Boehner being against lobbying in D.C. It's like Glenn Beck launching an anti-obesity campaign. Did I take that too far? I think I took that too far. I took that too far.
Yeah, you did.
I think I took it too far. Really? I'm expected to believe Joe Biden in this, and other people are as well. Where the hell are you progressives calling him out for this? It's not hard to find all of the inappropriate behavior. Simply go to YouTube, type in creepy Joe Biden. Type in Joe Biden gropes kids, Joe Biden gropes women. It's all over the place. He clearly has done things that make them feel uncomfortable. Touching them made him feel, saying things that makes them feel uncomfortable, and he somehow gets a pass? This is the problem, a lack of consistency. I don't care what you think about, either side is where you fall. But if you are not being consistent from person to person and situation to situation and applying the same logic and beliefs in this, then you're part of the problem. But I got to disagree with crazy, creepy Joe and Lady Gaga. This is not on all of us. It's not on all of us to prevent sexual assault. It's on the people who sexually assault. You take responsibility for you. I will take responsibility for me. Don't blame everybody else. Don't blame society. Don't blame toxic masculinity or any other BS term you come up with. Blame the people responsible. Hold them accountable. Let the punishment fit the severity and nature of the crime. And if they are punished, they're remorseful, they make amends, forgive them and move on. These are not worse crimes. It's not worse now. This is not some liberating age where we're finally getting beyond this. It is a witch hunt beyond just calling people out for doing bad. By the way, when Lady Gaga said that, I couldn't help but think, we're here in this hotel room to fight against sexual abuse and sexual assault. We're here promoting the cause of women and how creepy people like Joe shouldn't be creeping up on women in this hotel room. That's what we're doing. Join me on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Got a bunch of calls to get to. We're stacking them deep. We will get to those coming up next on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck. We're discussing the witch hunt that is accusations all over the place of inappropriate behavior from all kinds of different people. And I say witch hunt because you can clearly see that people are trying to gin up things from the past in order to punish people. Are some of these legit? Absolutely. Should those people be punished if proven guilty? Absolutely. They have no problem against that. Of course they should. But you recognize most of this is being done for a political nature or for agenda, even if it's not a politician. It's the, we've heard virtually nothing about Kevin Spacey, but a whole lot about Roy Moore, haven't we? Al Franken over the weekend, they ran a story on CBS that basically said, and I tweeted about it, I was stunned. CBS, you should be ashamed of yourself. They ran a story that basically said, here's a bunch of women who worked in Al Franken's office that said he was always a perfect gentleman and one hell of a boss. That's not news. That's propaganda. How is something that didn't happen news? Okay, so your argument is, well, this disputes what this woman claimed. Well, remember, there's photographic evidence of one of her allegations. So you don't have to prove it or disprove it, as CBS is trying to do. CBS was trying to take the heat off of Al Franken. They were helping him. They were not the fourth estate. They were not the media holding people accountable and reporting facts as journalists. CBS were propagandists helping or attempting to help Al Franken. Have they dug up a bunch of women from Roy Moore's past saying he was always a perfect gentleman? I was 13 and he didn't sleep with me. No, they didn't do that. Did they dig up a bunch of women during the campaign that said, Donald Trump never grabbed me by the hoo-ha? No. It was, here's a bunch of women who said that never happened to them with Al Franken. You should be ashamed of yourself. Let's go to the phone lines now. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to line number 55 in Massachusetts. It's Steve. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Steve, how are you?
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
My biggest pet peeve with this whole sexual harassment scandal is, why hasn't Bill Clinton at least been condemned and ostracized by the Democrat Party? He should have been in jail for what he did while he was governor of Arkansas, never mind have a political career. To me, the whole Democrat Party fighting against sexual harassment is the biggest fraud, because Bill Clinton is still walking around free and loose. And until they clean that up, I think my vote is going to be a protest vote against Bill Clinton for his sexual harassment.
You know what, Steve? And you're absolutely right. The hypocrisy is incredible. Now, there's hypocrisy from the right, too. There's a lot of people who won't hold people accountable, and that's fine. But you are absolutely right when it comes to Bill Clinton. Did you see what Chelsea Handler did last week with regard to that story, where she was talking about Juanita Broderick? Or tweeted at her. So Chelsea Handler, and by the way, Steve, thank you for the call. Chelsea Handler, who suffers from Trump derangement syndrome. Full disclosure, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I didn't support him because I vote on track record. I certainly didn't vote for Hillary, but I vote on track record as a conservative libertarian. I think Trump's done a pretty good job with some things. I've criticized him on others. Having said that, got to do that disclaimer in today's world, unfortunately. Chelsea Handler tweets out about all women are to be believed and a bunch of other propagandists as part of her Trump derangement syndrome. And of course, blasted Trump. She put something like, imagine, when speaking of Roy Moore, imagine you're a young girl and an older man abuses you sexually. It was pretty close to that. I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty close. And then you have to suffer through it the rest of your life. And then he gets elected to the Senate and you have to witness that. And what does that show to other girls? And Juanita Broderick, who has accused Bill Clinton of raping her when he was governor, tweeted out, I don't have to imagine because it happened to me. And said, that happened. A governor did that to me and then went on to be president, so on and so forth. And a bunch of people were like, hey, what about that, Chelsea? Come on. And she was silent for a few days and then was forced to respond. And she responded, oh, Juanita, I didn't know about that. I'm just finding out about this. What? Bill Clinton, allegations, women, rape, inappropriate. What? When did this happen? What? What? Really, Chelsea? Did you start reading the newspapers a week and a half ago? You really don't remember any of that stuff? You're lying. It's crap. How dare you? Let's go back to the phone lines. Line 22 now. Rick in Missouri. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. How are you?
Thank you, Doc. A pleasure to be on. What gets me, besides everything that's already been stated, as you know, basically the facts of it, is we got to learn from our history. And here's one simple little history lesson that is from the recent past. Mitt Romney didn't pay his taxes for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I heard.
Yes.
2 years later, Harry, you lied on nationwide TV.
Right.
Harry, you lied. And he smirks and says, well, he didn't win, did he? I'm feeling exactly the same thing in Alabama on a state level, mm-hmm. which will lead to a federal level.
And
that's exactly what I'm feeling.
And Rick, mind you, while he was saying that, while Harry Reid, having no conscience, was saying that, there were actually people in the current administration when he said that, that didn't pay their taxes. Do you remember? Tim Geithner.
Yes.
And Kathleen Sebelius, remember? They did not pay their taxes and only paid them once they were called out and it was discovered. Yet he called out Mitt Romney.
Yes, and supposedly approximately, 10% of IRS, of a certain department of IRS, didn't pay their federal taxes either?
Yes, they still haven't. Yeah, every year the IG reports come out and they don't pay their taxes. I mean, we found out. Well, Rick, we just found out that Lois Lerner, they've started settling some of those cases with the Tea Parties and Patriot groups when Lois Lerner conspired with other people, and I believe the Obama administration and members therein, to use the power of the IRS to punish people, for their different political opinions. And they're starting to admit that now. They've actually admitted it, wrongdoing, and said it won't happen again now. Meanwhile, Lois Lerner still sits collecting a government pension that, by the way, they waited to fire her or retire her, as it was, a couple of months so she would reach another category and make even more money.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing?
And that's the hypocrisy, Rick. I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. I'm tired of the D.C. insider game where it's them against us.
Well, to me, Doc, to be quite honest with you, as regards to the party goes, because I'm old enough to remember Blue Dog Democrats.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember real Republicans. The Republican Party today was the Democratic Party of 30 years ago. The Democratic Party today is the Socialist Party.
Wow. That's a great,
Rick? I look at.
That's a great way to look at it, buddy. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to New York now. David from line 111. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, sir.
What I wanted to say today was, Judge Roy Moore down in Alabama is being slandered all over the news. He might be guilty, he might not be. The ladies might be telling the truth, but there's no way of finding out the truth unless you ask him to take a polygraph test, because he's being destroyed in the court of public opinion. So why don't they get some world-renowned polygraphists to give these guys tests, find out who's telling the truth?
Well, and I appreciate where you're heading with this, and I like the idea, David. If I were Roy Moore, I would take one. The problem is polygraph tests aren't always accurate, as you know. But the bigger problem, and by the way, thank you so much for the call. The bigger problem is that you're asking Roy Moore to prove his innocence. That's not how this is supposed to work. Now, I know that there are people out there like Mitt Romney, even, who said innocent till proven guilty is for a court of law, not public opinion, and all of this crap. And the bottom line is Mitt Romney doesn't like Roy Moore because Mitt Romney is the progressive Republican. We know that. The reason he put that out there is because of other things, other reasons he doesn't want Roy Moore to have that gig. But you're still asking him to prove himself innocent. It's not supposed to work that way. Even though that's an official standard when it comes to our legal system, we're all supposed to have that attitude ourselves as well. Why would you want to start with somebody's guilty? Why do you want to assume guilt? That's not good. It's not Christian either. All right, back to the phone lines. Let's go to the Buckeye State. Pete in Ohio, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, good morning, Doc. And the light of the spotlight on abuse of people in powerful positions has never been brighter. And we can vote with our dollars and our feet in business or in Hollywood. But I'd like to expand the institution of term limits as we have for our mayors. Term limits for the governors, term limits for the president of the United States. The abuse of power in Congress and the Senate is based on you know, decades of entrenched politicians. And I would like to see them, you know, 16 to 20 years, I think, is reasonable. It's not partisan. It wouldn't help one party or the other, but it would clean up Congress.
Pete, I absolutely agree with you. That's one of the solutions in this thing. So let's talk solutions. If you're tired of all of this back and forth, witch hunt, backbiting, when you know so many people are guilty from various, you know, backgrounds, from Republicans, Democrats, conservative, liberal, whatever. If you're tired of it, then you've got to come up with solutions. And Pete, you're right. That's one of the solutions. Term limits. We have to find a way to take as much power away from D.C. as possible. And that's something that our liberal friends are missing here. When I seek to limit federal power, it's not crazy right-wing ideas. It's the way we, all Americans, remain in power. The more the federal government has, or within your state, the more your state has, the less power you have. And that's the key. They get more power. They have manipulated us in the media. They have put us at each odds with one another over a handful of ideas. When there's more common ground than not. So solutions are, you're right, term limits, balanced budget amendments, things like this. Ways we can limit government power. And then there's another thing we can do. This has particular importance this week, knowing that Thursday is Thanksgiving. And we'll talk more about this later in the week, but being thankful for what we have. Being thankful for what we have, truly being thankful and counting our blessings, forces us to prioritize all the things in our life. And when you're prioritizing in your life, you start saying, huh, maybe me hearing that dirty joke in the office isn't as big a deal as our veterans having served America and suffering from PTSD and traumatic brain injury being killed by the VA. Maybe it's not as significant as that. Maybe I'll just go about my business. Being thankful is one of the other solutions.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
I may have worked for one of the accused now. One of those being caught up in one of these. I think I work for the guy.
Well,
by the way, Cal's joining me regularly, heard on our morning broadcast with me on the Blaze Radio Network. So
wouldn't be the first time you work for somebody
creepy.
Yeah,
I mean, I work for Glenn Beck. He's just creepy in a different way.
Yeah.
The guy in question is Ohio Supreme Court Justice and a gubernatorial candidate, Bill O'Neill. So he's on the Ohio Supreme Court running for governor. And he decided to comment on Al Franken. I think I used to work for this guy.
He work in radio?
No. His family had a restaurant when I was a kid in Geneva on the Lake called O'Neill's Landing. And pretty sure he was still an owner or part owner at the time. And I didn't see him much. He didn't regularly manage it or whatever. I'd seen him a couple times here and there, but I think that's him. Anyway, he posted to Facebook, I guess, defending Al Franken. He was, I guess, defending Al Franken.
Really?
And here's what he put. Now that the dogs of war are calling for the head of Senator Al Franken, I believe it's time to speak up on behalf of all heterosexual males. Okay, is that
now, now's the time.
Okay, that's automatically a failure right there, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Heterosexual, warning, political candidate, warning, this is bad for you. He put, as a candidate for governor, let me save my opponent some research time. In the last 50 years, I was sexually intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females. It ranged from a gorgeous blonde who was my first true love, and we made passionate love in a hayloft of her parents' barn.
TMI.
And ended with a drop-dead gorgeous redhead from Cleveland. Now, can we get back to discussing legalized marijuana and opening the state hospital network to combat the opioid crisis? I am so, with multiple O's, disappointed by this national feeding frenzy about sexual indiscretions decades ago. Peace. Yes, he ended with peace out, bitches.
I like that he didn't talk about the couple of Hufflepuffs that he probably did when he was, you know, drunk.
Right.
I'm not going to mention those. It was a gorgeous blonde and a gorgeous redhead.
And let me tell you, and then we did this. And you know what? I'll get back to the rest of them. It's all going to be in my book, The 50 Women of Bill O'Neill. It's all going to be in the memoirs, baby. If you like that, I'll titillate you with a little bit more. All right, more on this in your phone calls. And by moron, I mean Bill O'Neill. Coming up next.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
It's amazing that we actually have to discuss all of these nonsensical stories of claims of harassment. I say nonsensical, not that some of them haven't happened. Of course they have, and of course they were wrong. It's nonsensical because you know the true motivations. The true motivations are political. And then the people doing political yoga so they don't have to be held accountable, or the person that they like doesn't have to be held accountable. Yes, all of these stories are different. All of the circumstances are different, from George Takei to Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and the allegations against other people like Roy Moore or Al Franken. All of them are different. The one similarity I see is if you like that person or you support their political ideology, then you're not holding them accountable. Very few people are holding the people that they like accountable. Oh, they're happy to tell you about the other side all day long. But they're not pointing the finger at the people they like. And now with this, this Bill O'Neill guy running for Ohio, for governor in Ohio, he's a Democrat and comes out to defend Al Franken. Well, Bill, why didn't you defend Roy Moore? Again, every situation is a little bit different.
Because he's a
can't say GOP-er.
Yeah.
That's why we know it. I don't know how you do it. I guess that's what's really needed to be in politics. That you can have no conscience, or it's cognitive dissonance or something, and you find a way to explain away, well, that's different over there. How come you didn't say the same things or post your post, Bill O'Neill, when the allegations against Roy Moore surfaced? Why didn't you do it then? Every situation is different. But the Roy Moore one and the Al Franken are similar in some ways, in that Al Franken currently has a job that Roy Moore wants. And a whole lot of people called out Roy Moore and said he was unfit because of the allegations. Al Franken had allegations against him. Not the same type, but some of his were actually proven. So Bill O'Neill, why didn't you put, now that the dogs of war are calling for the head of Roy Moore, and speak up? Because you're a Democrat. That by itself excludes me from voting for you. Not just the party, but you not holding your party and people within your party accountable, whatever party that may be. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Constitution Party, I don't care. If you cannot hold those accountable within your party, then I cannot support you. You know, there's been a lot of discussion over the last few elections, especially the last few presidential elections, the concept of the lesser of two evils. That was a big debate during the last presidential election. A few presidential elections ago, I got to the point of saying, no more will I choose between the lesser of two evils. And there's a lot of people that disagree with that and have attacked, beat me up on air, and I let them. That's fine. We have a disagreement. But I think this shows it right there. This is another example of what happens when you choose the lesser of two evil. You create the machine that has allowed all this to happen, where Democrat or Republican can stand before you and act like there's not more to the story, that they can lie to you, that they have no memory of past wrongdoings. It's the Nancy Pelosi saying we've got to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill. But then as soon as Donald Trump is president, it's, well, don't look, we just got to, we must absolutely know everything in this bill before we can sign on to it. We need days to go over it. And
we can't just pass it.
What? What has created that? If you had told me 30 years ago, Doc, here's what the world is going to have. Here's the technology that we will have. We'll have this thing called the internet, and there'll be social media, and we'll be connected. Everybody around the globe that is also on the internet with social media, and everybody will have a camera, a recording device in their pocket. If you had told me what the world would look like technologically 30 years ago, and you said, now, what is that going to mean for the future? What is that going to mean for politics? I would have applauded and said, this is going to be great. There will be forced accountability because everybody will have a camera. And anytime anybody says something, you say, well, this isn't what you said 2 years ago. Here it is right there. And they'll be held accountable. We do that. But those people are not held accountable. Why? Because you blindly follow and support the people because you've chosen teams. And you feel if you hold your side accountable, you will lose ground. And maybe you will. But you know what you'll gain? Your soul. And possibly long term, the change you're actually looking for. So Bill O'Neill, candidate for Ohio governor, wrote, as a candidate for governor, let me save my opponent some research time. Okay, that makes me feel like there may be something else out there, right?
Yeah,
for okay. Sure. And then, in the last 50 years, I was sexually intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females.
That's a pretty good record.
What, okay.
One a year?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Good for you, Billy. Wow, all right. And it wasn't just sexually active, nay. And sexually it wasn't just
intimate.
With... Intimate, right. And it wasn't just females.
Really?
And it wasn't just attractive females. It was 50 very attractive females. Billy got some game. He just wants everybody to know. That's right. It wasn't just any old talent. Top shelf talent.
A redhead, a blonde.
In fact, this one time. I mean, doesn't it seem like he's bragging here?
It does.
Okay. So, Bill O'Neill, if you're the Democrat, the progressive, the liberal out there, who's defending against all of this, and theoretically, if you're the Democrat, you buy into this nonsense that women are somehow less than equal and need your help and government's help to be made equal and that they're being kept down and all of these safe space, you know, millennials, everything is horrible. We must make sure that everybody hashtag me too and all of that. And your social media post is, that's right, I was intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females. And then you go into detail. A gorgeous blonde who was my first true love. We made passionate love in the hayloft of her parents' barn and ended with a drop-dead gorgeous redhead from Cleveland. I swear, Penthouse Forum, this is all true. That's the only thing missing here. I swear it really happened that way. I know everybody says it, but it's true. 50 gorgeous females in 50 years.
It was a hot summer day.
Wow.
James Swick tweeted, Bill O'Neill's next autobiography, 50 Shades of O'Neill.
I know, right, really. In fact, after he put this out there, so ridiculous, and I have a lot of respect for this guy, his spokesman, Christopher Clevenger, resigned. He said, as a victim of sexual assault, I cannot in good faith remain a part of Bill O'Neill's campaign team.
Well, he didn't admit to assaulting anybody.
No, but
these are sexual encounters.
It is, and I have no problem with that. And I personally don't have a problem with him telling people if anybody cares. You can vote or for him or not or whatever if you think it's inappropriate. But based on the things that we've been told over and over again from these liberals, his post was inappropriate by their own score, their own scoring, by their own plan and platform, their own ideas and so-called values. What he posted was inappropriate. It was absolutely inappropriate. Not that I think it is, but by theirs. So if you are that Democrat and you're not holding him accountable, sorry. You're as bad as the people out there that are excusing away other sexual assaults.
I could see this being a requirement for future campaigns. Like, you run on your platform, I'm for less taxes, I'm for better education, and here is my sexual history.
It was 14 people in 13 years. It's like when you get married, yeah. You know, and you're like...
It's like a dating profile.
All right, how much, how many? How many is
What's
it
your been? Number?
What's your number?
36?
36, including me? 37. Oh, my head is swimming. 37. His name is Snowball. Anyway...
Try not to meet any guys on the way out.
Try not to meet any guys on the way to the car. By the way, we're talking about this the script from the script from Clerks. Although we've edited it for broadcast. Lena Dunham is another one who seems to be what's the word I'm thinking of?
Hypocrite?
That's the one right there. So, a writer for her show Girls, Murray Miller, was accused by an actress of rape. And Lena Dunham defended him.
Yeah.
She tweeted, "Our first instinct is to listen to every woman's story. Our insider knowledge of Murray's situation makes us confident. And sadly, this occasion is one of the 3% of assault cases that are misreported every year."
Huh. Isn't that a coincidence?
So she's not believing the accuser?
Didn't she tweet before that?
Well, right. So last August, just a few months ago, she basically tweeted, "All women should be believed." That's the big mantra from everybody out there. Of course, it's only men who are, you know, who do bad things and all women are victims, you know. She tweeted last August, "Things women do lie about, what they ate for lunch. Things women don't lie about, rape." So women don't lie about rape.
Oh, no, that's never happened.
But in this case, it's different. Because I know him. He wouldn't have done such a thing. What?
Yeah.
Couple people found some problems with that. Let her know on the social media, as people are wont to do. They found it a little hypocritical. She then tweeted out, "I naively believed it was important to share my perspective on a friend's situation. I now understand that it was absolutely the wrong time to come forward with such a statement, and I'm so sorry." So she would still believe this.
Yeah.
Okay. "Every woman who comes forward deserves to be heard fully and completely, and our relationship to the accused should not be part of a calculation anyone makes when examining her case." But that's exactly what you did after telling everybody else women don't lie about rape. And this woman accused him of rape. But you only got it after people called you out?
It's called picking and choosing.
That's it. So how can I believe your most recent tweet? Do you still think your friend is innocent or not? Here's the thing. No, not everybody should be believed. I'm not saying you have to systematically discredit them because you're trying to protect somebody who is probably guilty, which is what has happened over the years that led to every woman must be believed. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. What I'm saying is innocent until proven guilty. If somebody makes an accusation, investigate it. Believe them to the point that you will investigate, of course. But to say every woman who comes forward deserves to be heard fully and completely? No. That's why you investigate. And by the way, men don't deserve to be heard or believed. Or deserve to be fully and completely believed?
There's never been an instance where a woman decided to take advantage.
There's been a couple. Yeah. There's been a whole lot. Details on that coming up next on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
The senator from New York, Kristen Gillibrand, had some comments about these allegations, various people accused of various inappropriate actions. She was asked specifically in an interview if Bill Clinton's sexual scandal, if it were to occur today in modern times, would it be appropriate for him to have resigned from office? And she said yes. It would be appropriate for him to resign from office today, but not back then.
No.
So she's saying times have changed. What was acceptable? Now, I agree with her on some of that. I just think this is not in line with some of the other beliefs she may have. Was it appropriate in the Mad Men 1950s era?
I mean, it was much more accepted.
Right. You're just grabbing people and whatever and blah, blah, blah. It was accepted. Did a lot of people dislike it and didn't have the ability to speak up and whatever? Yes.
Yeah.
But it was the standard of the time. So should he have been, you know, kicked out of office or some of these other allegations, if they'd happened, you know, other allegations against other people, should it take them down? No, because they didn't back then. Therefore, it was accepted as part of society. So she essentially is admitting that times change and you've got to kind of roll with it. Okay.
All right.
Racism.
What?
Specifically slavery. These are people that when you bring up Washington or Jefferson, they say slave owners. You've got to remember, you know, anything that they did, take it with a grain of salt through the lens of slave owners, you know, and you try to point out, although wrong, very wrong, it was accepted at the time and also legal, but morally it was still wrong. Yes, it was, and they were wrong to do it. However, it was one of many sins that they or others, and you included, take part in all the time. And you point out things like they worked to end slavery. You know, I mean, the South objected and they would have never got the Constitution passed if it were not for...
Is it true that it was in the first draft?
Well, they objected and they wouldn't have gotten the South on board. We would not have had the union we have. Now, this to a lot of people is not acceptable and that's fine. But isn't that the lesser of two evils? You know, you plan for the future. These are things that they fight against all the time. How about just racism in general? How about it was acceptable to drop the N-bomb in the 1970s?
Yeah, it was.
So if suddenly today, Roy Moore is discovered to have on tape dropped the N-bomb. Maybe he was in blackface at a party, shucking and jiving, playing the step and fetch it character, whatever, that is offensive to people.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, it was at a Halloween party. I was just screwing around or an office work thing or whatever. Just joking
permission.
About. No, he didn't. Back in the day, he just did it because it was acceptable. Would she, Kristen Gillibrand, would she say, yeah, that was just the time? No.
I doubt it.
She and others would be lining up to fillet him in the media. Essentially, what I have proven yet again is this is just politics. They asked her a complex question about Bill Clinton, and she was trying to walk that line because she knew if she didn't, she would be called a hypocrite about Bill Clinton, and I just showed you how she's still a hypocrite either way.
Mm-hmm.
When you fight to try to market an idea, a belief system, as opposed to just speaking the truth in what you believe, this is where you end up. Now, after she said that, Bernie Sanders came out and speechified. Bernie Sanders was asked specifically about Kristen Gillibrand and Bill Clinton. Should he be held? And here's what Bernie Sanders had to say.
I have a question about this new environment that we're in. A lot of people are reexamining past allegations against folks like Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas or President Bill Clinton. Your colleague, Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, said this week that Bill Clinton should have resigned after it came out that he had an inappropriate sexual relationship with a White House intern. Do you agree with Senator Gillibrand?
Look, I don't think that at this moment our goal is to look back 20 years or 30 years. Our goal is to go forward. And our goal is to understand that we have a real crisis in this country today within the political world, within the corporate world, within the media world.
Wait a minute.
Women are
and then Bernie goes on to market. Bernie
day.
Goes on to market and just talk about, well, here's what we need to do moving forward about things that have nothing to do with the topic. Okay. But we don't need to look back. So why hasn't Bernie led with, leave Roy Moore alone. Leave him alone, you pesky ent. Because we don't want to look back.
We don't need to.
Because he, too, is playing politics and finding a way to navigate the waters that benefits him instead of being true and honest and having conviction.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Take part in any outdoor activities. Do you golf? How about hiking? You bike ride? Go for walks? Anything outdoors other than just, you know, going and getting to the car. You spend any significant amount of time outdoors? Do you camp? Any of that stuff? Well, if you're saying yes, that's because you're white.
What?
It's because you're white.
I beg to differ. I've seen many races outdoors.
Please.
Exercising, running.
They were masquerading
sports.
As some other race. Trust me, they were.
Really?
I think they were likely white people in disguise.
That's funny.
That's probably what it was. I say that because a student at Claremont Colleges in California wrote an op-ed that says non-white people are excluded from the outdoors because of white supremacy. And I can't tell you all the times I've gotten together at the Klan meetings and we're there with the hoods and the burning the crosses just to keep everybody else from outside. You know, I mean, it's our goal, you know, to keep as many people inside as possible.
As many non-white people. Because you want all the white people outside.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we want the non-white people inside, the white people outside. You know, that's the goal. What?
This is a white-only hiking trail. Sorry?
He explains it this way in his op-ed piece. He says, due to the predominance of whiteness in the outdoors...
White people. That sounds like a bad comedy.
You know what? I've seen white people outside. I have seen them outside.
I've seen one or two.
Due to the predominance of whites in the outdoors, people of color have been denied access to the outdoors. I mean, what with all the boarding up of doors and windows, barring them, you know.
I literally think this person lives on another country.
You haven't seen this?
I haven't seen any of this.
That's likely because you're one of those white people.
Has he been outside? Because I've seen quite a few other people outside.
Let me think. He said, due to the predominance of whiteness outdoors, we're getting into wintertime. Is that what he means?
Wintertime?
Well, with all the snow and whatnot and the whiteness.
The whiteness is causing the winter.
I don't know. He says outdoor clubs are the most funded on campus. Yet... are saturated with white supremacy. The outdoor clubs. So likely what they do, they go, okay, it's our hiking club. Welcome to the hiking club.
Yes, hi, my name is Jim.
Hey, Jim, welcome to the club. And we've all been here, you know, for a while, for a few years. Tell you all about the hiking. We usually go on a couple trips a year. Here's the list of things you'll need to hike.
Oh, great, great.
You'll see here it has the shoes, the white sheet. Okay. You're going to need...
what is a sheat? To go hiking.
For the outfit. You know,
there's
a white pointed
kind of
hat.
Thing?
You'll need that. Across the burn and lunch. You know,
hold
a picnic
on. Hey.
Lunch. Yeah.
Across the burn. I'm not cool with that pointy hat.
You'll need some nooses, you know, as we go lynching people, you know, to keep them inside. That's our goal.
I'm going to have to avoid this group.
He says the outdoor clubs are saturated with white supremacy. He admits the clubs are open for all people, yet saturated with white supremacy. Because... no matter the color of someone's skin, you can attend these clubs, but not everyone feels safe to attend. So it's a safety issue that is having the whites rule supreme at these outdoor clubs Claremont Colleges in California. Well, they must be. See, apparently this is part of the systematic racism where it's scaring people to keep them away.
Huh.
It's a scare tactic. Well, we don't want them as part of our outdoors club, you know. He went on to write in his op-ed piece, this discomfort is unfortunately caused by existing racial boundaries. Historically, white people in imperialist conquests have appropriated land as their own. North America, rightfully, belongs to indigenous communities, yet it has been taken away from them by force. Consequently, a false sense of ownership of nature permeates white America. Because we know we own...
nature?
We own nature, whitey, of course.
Do the trees and the birds and the squirrels...
white, absolutely white. You mean to tell me any non-white people out there, somewhere, a non-white person owns a tree?
Yeah.
Please.
No, I'm pretty sure, yeah, yeah.
You're so naive, Cal, so naive. The image of the outdoorsy individual, he said, is an exclusive classification that gives white people the authority to venture into the outdoors freely, leaving people of color behind.
This is so ridiculous.
How do you even come up with this?
I don't understand.
How can you even write this?
I have no words.
I think I may understand it. They smoke a lot of dope at Claremont College.
That's what it is.
That's the only thing I could come up with. Or
his head is so far up his other thing that
maybe there was a fall in his past and he hit his head a lot repeatedly. He went on to say racial barriers that prevent non-whites from stepping outside, but also financial barriers are a problem.
Really?
To non-white people being allowed into the great outdoors. He said only people with economic privilege can participate in outdoor activities.
I don't know if you know this. You don't need that much to go hiking.
Oh, walking is... you know how expensive walking is?
No.
I mean, every time I head out, I mean, I can afford it because I'm white.
Okay.
Every time I head out, they're like, that's going to be $455 billion. And I just write the check. And I'm like, man, fortunately, I make $700 trillion a week, you know, as a white person. Yeah, I can afford it. But
that's right.
Crazy expensive to walk. I mean, that's... you know, and running. You know, I run now
you
and then.
You do run, yeah.
Whew, even more expensive. You know,
on the secret white trails.
Me and my economic privilege participating in outdoor activities. He also says understanding obscure outdoor lingo is something that that white people get and non-whites don't. You know, we have this special language. Like, well, I'll give you some examples of special coded things that apparently non-white people don't understand about the great outdoors, like walk.
Walk.
Walk. I mean, that's...
that's a white-only thing?
Absolutely. I assume. I mean, these are outdoorsy terms, or run, picnic. Maybe they don't know that. Golf. Maybe they don't know what that word means. Frisbee. Okay, that's pretty white. Baseball? That's a bad example. Don't use that one. That's actually a really bad example. I think that might be just for white people, stupidly, but yeah. Not because non-whites are excluded. It's just they're smarter than whites, and they don't actually take place in Frolf, or they don't take part in Frolf. They're not a part of that. So can you think of any other lingo that may be throwing them off, where they're like, I don't understand what they're talking about. The crackers over there, what with words like...
run and jump.
And swim,
hike and
fish.
Swim.
They don't understand them apparently.
Basketball, throw the ball.
So you got the financial barriers, economic privilege. You got the special lingo. I imagine garb is a part of that. You know.
So it's a recipe for.
Also said, friendship can act as a porthole for the whiteness for those who have historically been denied the privilege of comfort.
What?
Let me share that again. Friendship can act as a porthole to the wilderness for those who have been historically denied the privilege of comfort. So, I guess invite a non-white friend to the great outdoors. Yeah, I mean, you'll have to explain to him, like, this is a sidewalk.
What we're going to do
now. Repeat after me.
One foot in front of the other.
No, you're doing it. Here, hang on. One, like this. And you get them used to it, you know, and how to do
the
stuff.
Pace, this is called yogging. I believe the J is silent.
Now, he offers some solutions to the white out, the outdoors being a part of white supremacy. Would you like to know his solutions?
I would be thrilled.
Number one, affirm that nature belongs to all humans, not just white ones.
Okay.
We need that affirmation.
I need to know that. Okay. I didn't know nature belonged to human at all, but okay.
No, for all you whites out there that are walking around like nature belongs to you exclusively, it does not. And I'm here to affirm it doesn't belong just to you.
That's right.
It belongs to the other folk as well. Not just to the crackers, Not just to the Honkies, not just to the Peckerwoods, but everybody. I'm here to affirm. How do we have to affirm it? How many times do I have to say
this? Not a Peckerwood only forest.
No. So how do I have, to put it on signs, or is there a public service? I mean, I just affirmed it.
Yeah, I think you probably have to.
Am I done affirming, or do I have to keep affirming?
Skywrite it, make it sure everybody
does. Everybody have to affirm it all the time? I don't know the. I wish you'd offer a clarification.
Maybe,
but anyway,
like if you're white, you have to affirm it.
Affirm that nature belongs to all humans, not just white ones. Number two, the image of the outdoor enthusiast should not belong to just white people. That's one of the solutions.
The image of the outdoor enthusiast.
Yes. Should not belong to just white people.
Okay.
Which means, Cal, we proceed to fix that by?
Making more non-white people picture running.
The image of outdoor enthusiasts should not belong just to white people.
Like magazines and ads and things?
I was hoping you could help me out with this. I have no idea what this means. I don't know. Number three.
I mean, did they know that the guy who, well, not this year, but the last like 50 New York City marathons have been won by like an African guy? Like a Kenyan or.
It's white guys.
This is the first year, and I don't know how long.
I don't even think they let blacks enter. They don't even let them enter, do they? In fact, there's none in Manhattan. That entire outdoor has been exclusively white people.
No. It's pretty much.
You're telling me there are blacks that enter the New York marathon?
Blacks, Asians.
Is it like a separate but equal marathon?
No. They all run together.
Like, okay, you run in Harlem, and we'll all run around Central Park.
Everybody runs together. It's a kind of a co-mingling.
Okay. You're embarrassing yourself here, and let me just stop you.
You know,
obviously are misinformed. I'm just going to stop you before you embarrass yourself even more.
There's this game called basketball.
Okay, please.
Where they
and
play
is that primarily played where?
Indoors.
Oh, there it is.
But still, it's an
how
athletic
often does
sport.
The NBA play outside?
Not quite often. But
okay.
It's still
how often does the NFL play outside?
Sometimes they're open domes, you know. They're not always.
Yeah, I guess that's 50-50.
Yeah.
Number three, white people should exert caution as not to dominate ownership of the word outdoorsy.
Did you guys own that? I didn't know that. Okay.
I own the word outdoorsy. I say it, I mean, at least once every millennia. Once every maybe decade.
Okay.
How often do you say outdoorsy?
When describing myself, not often.
Aside from this conversation, how often does it ever? You'd say outdoors. I will go outdoors.
I don't even think I say outdoors
that often.
No,
probably outdoorsy. Outside.
Where's the car? Outside.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. You can. I'm happy to never say it again. I feel comfortable with that.
You're giving up your white privilege, and
I am because I don't want to dominate ownership of the word outdoorsy. I'm going to exert caution as not to dominate it.
All right. Thank you for giving that up.
That's the least I could do.
Okay, thank you.
And finally, he says, outdoor clubs on college campuses should work to increase accessibility and to help people learn the skills they will need. Increase accessibility to the outdoors.
All right.
I'm thinking more doors, more windows. Is that what we need?
Man, I would think every building's got a significant amount of doors.
Colleges and dorms, you know what we need? Maybe a white door. And a black or non-white store.
You might want to be careful because they used to do that.
Well, yeah, but see, what we would do would have more non-white doors so they'd have greater accessibility to the outside. Apparently, they're getting bottlenecked at the door. Maybe their doors are more narrow or something.
Hmm.
We do like big garage doors or more of them.
Why do we even need doors?
Until we get teleportation, that's what I'm going for.
Get rid of the doors completely.
More windows, more escape hatches. I'm willing to hear it all because I don't want to dominate the great outdoors. Back with more in a moment on this, the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. Thanks so much for joining me. If you would, please follow me on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. And you can also follow me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Doc Thompson Show. Got some tweets coming in with the hashtag what I learned today. And a lot of people have learned a lot of things. And, you know, one of the things I've realized since white people have dominated the outdoors. And you know me, Cal, I'm all about
inclusion. You are a dominant force in the outdoors.
Well, you know, I'm trying to help people all the time. It's about inclusion and I don't want to offend anybody. You know, I get up every day saying I don't want to offend anybody. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start sprinting to my car.
Why?
because I don't want to, you know, be in the outdoors any longer than necessary. Just I'm going to limit my time by sprinting to the car.
Limiting your
outdoors. Because in the car is not outdoors, right? Okay. That's in the car, right?
Yeah, that's in the car.
Okay. And then I will sprint from the car.
Into the indoor.
That's my plan. I'm also not going to shovel this winter.
No? No snow shoveling?
No, because that's the outdoors.
I'm assuming that means no running as well.
No running. Jogging. Not going to do any exercise, any of that stuff. That's right. Lori D tweeting, isn't outdoorsy an 80s term for lesbian?
Is it? I didn't know that.
I think she's right on this. You got me, Lori. Also, sensible shoed. Or sensible shoes. Either one. Yep, a sensible shoed person. Also, code. Wow, so many new rules to learn.
I'm so
I think lost. It is. You know, the funny thing here is this guy's complaining that whites dominate the outdoors. Stupidly, silly, laughably. Saying that whites somehow dominate the outdoors because he's looking for a reason to cause, hey, that somehow there's racial discrimination, not prioritizing.
Hmm.
When you know who is outdoors a lot?
Oh.
Homeless people of all races. Specifically, a lot of veterans. He could have written about that. But instead, he chose to gin up something for his agenda.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
You know, I bring up this guy who wrote the article on the outdoors being part of some sort of white supremacy plan, or it's the whiteys own an outdoors or whatever. I bring it up for one expressed purpose, to mock it. And I mock it with one purpose in mind, to get it to stop. We cannot engage this level of ridiculousness in conversation. We can have a conversation about all kinds of things. True inequality. We can even discuss whether or not affirmative action is needed. I'll sit down with anybody. I'll hear you out. We can discuss virtually any of these. But when you get to the point where you claim that some people, non-white people, do not have the same access to the great outdoors because of white supremacy, you deserve to be mocked as much as possible. I hope this follows him around, that he has to wear it like a comedy scarlet letter.
It sounds like a faux evil plan of like Dr. Evil, like fake Bond villain.
We shall make it so no people of color can use the outdoors. Excellent. Ever again. So evil.
Some of this stuff deserves to be mocked because that's the only way it's going to change. Satire, sarcasm, and mocking something this ridiculous. I'm not just talking about mocking people you disagree with, although if you want to do that, that's fine as well. I think it's nice to still be able to engage in a civil conversation and try to find common ground, which we try to do. But when it's this silly, you deserve to be mocked for change. The way you're going to change this is to mock people like this. To point out how ridiculous it is through humor. That's the only way it's going to change. How many people on the left are calling this guy out? None. When they read it, even if it's crazy, and they know it's crazy, are they going to be like, dude, come on? They're not.
Even they're like, you're stretching it a bit here. You're reaching.
Right. In their heart of hearts, they know it is. But they don't say it. It's either one of two things. They look the other way because he's on the team, or they know it's going to help push the agenda by any means necessary. The end justifies the means. And then some of them are likely crazy and believe it as well. But most people know it's ridiculous that whites somehow have greater access to outdoors.
It's so ridiculous.
It's insane. So mock it. Share it. And it should be. A lot of people online mocking as well. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Doc Thompson Show. Use the hashtag What I Learned Today and you can join the program. We'll get some calls coming up. It's 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. We'll get some calls in a couple of minutes. Denise Young Smith was named Apple's VP of Diversity and Inclusion in May. Remember that?
That's good, yeah.
Remember the big discussion we had in May because of the letter that was written? Remember the former CEO of Facebook or executive at Facebook or person who worked at Facebook? We had that whole discussion.
Yeah.
And then at Apple, they had this brouhaha, whatever. Anyways, they appointed her as the VP of Diversity and Inclusion in May. She's stepping down.
That's only been what?
Denise Youngsmith.
It's like 6 months? A little less?
Yeah, not even. Yep. Stepping down because of something she said.
Oh, boy. What'd she say? Wasn't allowed outdoors?
During a summit in Colombia, she said, now she is a black woman, mind you.
Uh-huh.
Apple's VP of Diversity and Inclusion. Black woman. VP of Diversity and Inclusion. Okay. Said that she likes to focus on everyone and that diversity goes beyond race, gender, and sexual orientation.
Okay.
She said there can be 12 white, blue-eyed, blonde men in a room, and they're going to be diverse too because they're going to bring different life experience and life perspectives to the conversation.
Good. I like that.
She's right.
Yeah, she is. She got fired for that?
Well, she is stepping down.
Oh, she's stepping down, which means she was asked to step down.
She was fired. Exactly. Yeah. That's likely what it meant. She said, diversity is the human experience. She said, I get a little bit frustrated when diversity or the term diversity is tagged to people of color or women or LGBT. She said, we're not representative of how I think about diversity or how Apple sees it. Those were her later apologies. Uh-huh. That's what she later apologized. She said, we're not representative of how I think about diversity or how Apple sees it. For that, I'm sorry. She was forced to apologize. And for what? She basically said,
don't judge a book by its cover.
Well, she said something that I've said over and over again. Your claim, and maybe accurate claim, that you have it worse off because of fill in the blank, your race, your gender, your religion. Even if it's true that you are at a disadvantage because of your race. You walk in, there's more white people. Maybe there's a bias, even if it's an underlying subconscious bias. Fine. Let's go with you and say that you are at a disadvantage.
Okay.
There are many ways to advantage or disadvantage people. And you know what? Very few of them actually have to do with race. There are more ways you can disadvantage people that have nothing to do with race or religion or gender. Economic situation. And that could be all kinds of different things. You know what else disadvantages people? Stupidity. You're just dumb. You think you're going to get that job as the CEO if you're dumb?
Probably not.
No, of course not. Let's say you're average intelligence, but you don't really have any common sense. Okay, that may actually help you based on many of the bosses I've had. How about fat?
Yeah.
How about fat? You're going to be seen the same way when you're fat.
No.
Of course not. Let's say if you're fat with less control over it than other people. Some people, myself, you're fat because you're a little bit lazy. You're eating too much. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not doing the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Your metabolism slows a little, you get older. Fine. There's a lot of people, though, that are fat because of underlying circumstances. They also just generally have a slower metabolism. It's more difficult for them. All things being equal, guy walks in a room who's thin, guy walks in the room who's fat. Who's getting the job?
The thin guy.
The thin guy. How about ugly?
Oh, yeah.
Ugly.
You can't control that.
You cannot control ugly, and guess what? It's going to advantage you if you are pretty.
Absolutely.
All things being equal, good-looking guy walks in a room. Good look or a bad looking guy walks in the room. Who's getting the job? The good looking guy. Right? All things being equal. Good looking woman walks in the job. Ugly woman walks in the job. Who's getting it?
Good looking.
Now they want the large breasts. That's usually how it goes. No, sir, but that matters too. Even if it's subconscious, we like certain things. individuals. You're constantly making millions of calculations all the time. Every time, sizing everything up in every situation on levels you don't even know about. And you are attracted to things that are attractive to you. You are drawn to things that are like you, things that you appreciate. And that's okay. It's human nature. It's not to say, well, welcome in, Bill. Can't give you the job because you're black. Have a good day. I'm not justifying that. That's wrong. I'm saying that you can't control some of this. And by the way, that's not just to say white people are saying it. It happens with every race, right?
Yeah.
You're an Asian guy and you're doing some hiring. You're going to have biases based on your race and the way you're raised. But then, beyond race, religion, and gender, there are other ways you can be advantaged or disadvantaged. I grew up near Cleveland, Ohio. How do you think that helped me out? Versus the guy that grew up in Malibu or in Florida or wherever. A lot of places seem, is it a small advantage or disadvantage? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But still, those things matter. Who's more interesting at the party, right? The guy who is from Key West, the guy who's from Manhattan, or the guy from Cleveland?
Hey, it's all about life experiences.
Well, these things all add up who you are and what you present. Another thing, your name. And I'm not talking about ethnic names, which, by the way, those bias people as well. They've done studies where if you have certain ethnic names, it could bias you, whatever. But really bizarre, goofy, bad, whatever name versus seemingly more traditional name. There are countless ways you're advantaged or disadvantaged. And yet, these Black Lives Matter groups, the people who constantly tell you that they are getting a worse deal, meanwhile, they live in America in 2017, where it is impossible to starve.
Yeah.
The only way you're starving is if you are if you're not willing to pick up the food and put it in your mouth. And sometimes we even put it in your mouth for you. Seriously, there's food everywhere. We throw out better food than some people eat on a regular basis.
Oh, absolutely.
This is just how it is. There's food banks everywhere. There's welfare. There's like 16 federal government plans to give you money and food. You live in America in 2017. It's impossible to starve. You've got protections like nowhere else. America, the most diverse country on the planet. Did you check out that last Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
In walks the Chinese team. How many white people they have on it?
None.
All righty then. That team from Mexico. How many black people and Asian people do they have on it?
None.
No, probably not a whole lot. You see the American team.
Yep.
Blacks, whites, Asians, Hispanics.
All kinds.
We are the most diverse country. And yet, we let people lie to us and promote the fact that we need help with diversity. Screw that. The rest of the world needs help with diversity, if it matters so much. How come you're not bitching about China for not having more non-Asian people? Because they're Chinese. That's who they are. It's different and it's acceptable.
That's a great point. I wonder if the rhetoric in these other countries is the same as it is over here about diversity.
You know, the Chinese people going, you know, it's all these Asian people. I don't get it.
But, I mean, are there different levels of Chinese? Are there different, I'm sure there's different regions.
Of course, there's classes. There's regions, there's classes.
But do they cry for equality in the same way?
It's more economic.
Yeah.
See, but we have allowed people to tie economic inequality to racial inequality, and they'll use it back and forth, whatever benefits them. So when Denise Young Smith, the former now VP of Apple, heading up diversity inclusion, says that diversity goes beyond race, gender, and sexual orientation, she's right. What we have allowed people to do is walk into a room, see white people, and say, it's not diverse.
Yeah.
No, it may be. You could have all black people and it could be diverse. It's all about life experiences, what you bring to the table. All of these things that aren't easily measurable. But they want to look, ironically, at the color of a person's skin and size up the situation immediately.
Which is incredibly racist, ironically.
It is. It's so incredibly racist.
I don't get it.
Stop. Knock it off. There is no way you will ever get to true diversification in all things. Okay, we have picked these 14 people to head up our whatever department, and we've got exactly the same number of people from this region of the country, and this person who is this weight, and this person who is this height. How about height? You don't think the tall guy is going to get the job? Of course he will. So we got to make sure we have a proportionate people that are short, middle, tall, whatever. There's no way to go down the list and check every box and make sure it's even across the board. How about this? We start judging people on their character. Not if they're from Cleveland, or short, or fat, or rich, or white. How about the content of their character?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's crazy, I know.
You're getting crazy there. You can step it back a second.
I'm going to get some calls coming up. The number, 888-727-BECK. It's 888-727-BECK. Doc Thompson, pinch hitting for Glenn today.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Lots of tweets are coming in with the hashtag What I Learned Today. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Please follow me on Twitter. All right, TJ Toppin tweeting, so Apple's diversity personnel are not allowed diversity of thought. Let me think. Yes, that's exactly right. By the way, they replaced the black woman who actually was quite reasonable in what she said about diversity with?
A white
woman. Apple, you're, wow. Even by what you're trying to do,
wow.
You're doing it wrong. Nicely done.
Wow.
Let's see here.
Jack Unease. Cole Andrew here tweeted, yeah. Hashtag what I was about. I grew up on a farm, so I have an advantage. It's called work ethic.
That's right. You got to stop that.
Seriously.
Stop that. Uneasy American number three tweeting, I learned that white people who hunt are a little bit outdoorsy and now are racist. Yep. I'll give you that too. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Brandon tweeting, Apple support is admitting diversity is all about race. Yeah, isn't that an admission? Aren't they saying diversity is mm-hmm. just about race then? And, well, I guess it could encompass religion as well. But that's really what they're working on. That's such a failure on their part. See, it's about economics, and this is something that's always lost in the discussion. When we talk about, well, look at how the quote-unquote ghetto or certain poor urban areas. Look at the black communities. Look how poor they are. It's about the poverty and it's about the area. So certain areas, whether urban, rural, whatever, are going to cost less to live in. And people migrate there. You go to Appalachia, whole lot of poor white people, right?
Oh, yeah.
You want to close the gap of claims of inequality. I say claims, the claims of inequality. It's going to have a lot to do with economics. Build a strong country. It's not about racism. It's not about people saying all of you people should be in the same area because you're a certain race. We're not forcing people.
I find it offensive. If I were a black American, basically what they're saying is that only people of color can be come from broken homes and lower income levels, poverty lines, things like that.
There was a ridiculous video that somebody sent me last week. I think maybe you did. Guy standing out in a big field.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of people lined up one end of the field. Very diverse group. No, not for their backgrounds or where they're from or anything like that. Just racially, you know.
Yeah, it was men, women, black women, white, all whole mix, Asian, right. Everything.
All lined up there. I don't know, 50 of them, 60, whatever it was. All lined up there. And the guy takes the middle of the field. He goes, okay, we're all out here today to, and this part I'm paraphrasing, make a propaganda video that's not really going to tell the truth. And then he said, I got this $100 bill and I'm going to lay it at the other end of the field. And the first one that can get to it when I say go can have the bill. Everyone's like, all right. And then he goes, before we do, anybody that has ever come from a broken home, take two steps. No, that has not come from a broken home, take two steps forward. Anybody who has both parents alive, never wondered where your next meal's coming from, all these weird categories, take two steps forward. And by the time he got to the end of it, there were a couple of people like 14 feet away from the bill. And he's like, now you may think, you know, this, you may not think this is fair, but this is what the world's like right now. And you look around and there's quite a few black people left behind back there because they came from broken homes, and tried to conflate economics, other choices people make in their life, with race. That's wrong. It's inaccurate. But why would he do such a thing? Is he that uninformed? Maybe. May not be informed. But more than likely, because it helps him have a job, feel secure, gin up this agenda.
Glenn Beck.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there and happy Thanksgiving. Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. Thanks so much for joining us. Last week, Glenn had discussed the Mercury One Ball, which was Saturday night in Dallas. And I have some numbers for you on the Mercury One Ball. Thank you to everybody who contributed and helped Mercury One fund its administrative costs throughout the year. They have the ball every year to fund the administrative costs. So when you donate to any of the funds that they have, whether it's the Veterans Fund or the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund or the Nazarene Fund, any of these, 100% of that goes to the cause, which is amazing. So they ended up doing real well, raised $800,000 to fund the administrative costs, which is incredibly low by most charity standards. So thank you so much for taking part. Jeffy ended up winning our virtual armadillo race. It wasn't virtual. He was actually
literal
armadillo race. If you want to see the videos, go to Mercury One's Facebook page and you can see them. They're there. You can find most information about Mercury One at mercuryone.org. If you want to donate, you still can to any one of the funds, mercuryone.org. And we have the information on the winner of the 2017 GMC Canyon.
Is it me?
Oh, my gosh.
I won?
No, it's not you. Oh. You have to buy a ticket to win.
I bought a ticket.
Not. Cynthia from Battleground, Washington. Congratulations, the winner of the car raffle, the Mercury One auction. Thank you so much for taking part. Again, mercuryone.org. If you want to still donate, you can. The Jeffy with with the armadillo at the end of it.
He's running around with it in his hands.
He raised it above his head and ran around like he was raising Lord Stanley's cup above his head, screaming. The guy with that owns the, he's like, put the armadillo down, put it down. You're not supposed to touch the armadillo. Put
the
him down.
The armadillo wrangler.
His legs are flailing in the air. Jeffy's like, woo! It's like, Jeffy, seriously, he did all the work. All you did was stand there and yell. That's it. He was quite happy. By the way, Cal is sitting here with me, regularly heard on the Morning Blaze. Just go to theblaze.com/doc if you want more information on us in the Morning Blaze. But for the last couple of days, we were asking people for Al Franken memes. You saw the picture of him with the woman on the plane, USO tour.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a good meme, share it with us on Twitter and use the hashtag Al Franken. Was it best Al Franken meme?
Yeah, best Al Franken meme.
Best Al Franken meme. And we will draw tomorrow morning for a prize. I'm not sure what it is yet. We have to figure that out. But tweet them at us anyways. I was supposed to draw this morning, but I decided to wait. I wanted to give everybody a chance on this show to get in. So again, it's hashtag best Al Franken meme. We'll draw tomorrow morning on the Morning Blaze. So thanks so much for joining us. By the way, speaking of Al Franken, some more breaking news. A second woman.
Oh, yeah.
Now claiming that he touched her inappropriately.
Yeah, so Lindsay Menz tells CNN that Franken grabbed her behind while she and the senator posed for a photo.
Grabbed her behind what?
Grabbed her behind.
The refrigerator?
No,
the,
her actual behind. Her buttocks.
We didn't have to say that.
Well, I mean, you're asking just said behind. Clarifying. He grabbed her. Says that as...
he also kissed her on the veranda.
No.
Ooh, thank you.
And the senator so he grabbed her behind while she and the senator posed for a photo in 2010 at the Minnesota State Fair. She says that as her husband prepared to take the photo...
Brave.
Franken drew her close, quote, like awkward close, and quote, put his hand full-fledged on my rear. It was wrapped tightly around my butt cheek, end quote. She said he kept it there for 3 or 4 seconds. And Frank, you want to hear Franken's statement on this?
Mm-hmm. There it is.
He says, obviously, he doesn't remember the moment. He says, I take thousands of photos at the state fair surrounded by hundreds of people, and I certainly don't remember taking this picture. I feel badly that Miss Menz came away from our interaction feeling disrespected.
She's claiming this, not really proven per se. Some of his have been proven. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't see Al and everybody else that's siding up to defend him doing the same. Again, I'm looking for consistency here. The fact that I do have photographic proof of him, joke or not, doing something like this would lend credence to this now. Looking for consistency, folks. Sorry. And if Roy Moore has to go, then Al Franken has to go.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it is.
If you're going to be
Al in this scenario is worse because it's proven. Now, if they prove that Roy Moore was hoy-hoy-hoying with some 14-year-old, that's going to be worse. But not proven at this point. I get some calls to get to. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. Dave in Iowa. Line number two. Thank you so much for calling the Glenn Beck program. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing well, sir.
Okay. Hey, you were earlier, you were mentioning the great outdoors, how minorities aren't going outdoors. Or
yes. Yes, that's right.
Somehow being, mm-hmm. They're being denied the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to YouTube, you'll see black comedians or African-American comedians joke about not wanting to go outdoors. They say things like, no, we don't want to get eaten by a bear, and everybody laughs and jokes about that. So I was wondering if the author ever actually interviewed minorities and asked them what they thought about the great outdoors, about camping and stuff like that.
Are you getting this too, Cal?
Yeah.
You know what's going on. David, are you white?
Yes.
Okay. You see what's going on there. David. I mean, you're going to claim something like that to try to protect the outdoors, Whitey. I see what's going on.
Some of that white privilege.
Is that what you're doing here?
Yeah.
Hey, no, you're right. Of course, David. They joke about it. There's other people that joke about things as whatever. Well, I've heard black comedians joke about not swimming. That's one of the stereotypes as well. It's the hypocrisy that drives me up the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy, thanks so much for calling to check in, and I appreciate it. Let's go to Texas now, and Robert, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi there.
Hey, Doc, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Doing great. Hey, I've always wanted to ask this question. So we have African-Americans, and do we have African-Canadians, African-Frenchmen, African-Englishmen, African-Germans, or we just have African-Americans?
No, here's what's funny. I've heard people try to describe people in other countries that happen to be black, like in England or Canada, like you said, or France or whatever, as African-Americans, because they're so tied to the political correct statement. They're like, well, that African-American, Frenchman, Canadian.
Yes. So I'm a Frenchman. I'm a Frenchman-American. I just want to let you know.
I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry,
it'll
Robert.
Be all right.
We all have our shortcomings. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you calling. Yes, sir. Oops, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I think awesome. We cut him too. Sorry about that. So Doc Martens, are you familiar with them?
The shoes, yeah.
Yeah. That's not me. I'm Doc Thompson.
Yeah.
A doctor of aromatherapy and funk, by the way. It's a dual doctorate.
Took you a long time to get that funk one.
Well, I do have soul and I am super bad, you know, but, you know, I just kept plowing ahead. I dreamed. I dared to dream. Got the work done. You know, it was hard work. But anyways, Doc Martens, you're familiar with those?
Yes.
What are they, Cal? Shoes. Our fashion consultant now.
Well, the pertaining shoe is
footwear.
Called the Doc Martin. They were big when I was like in high school, Doc Martin boots and stuff.
They are advertising for the holidays on a billboard in Southeast Portland. All right. The billboard shows a close-up of the black boots.
Okay.
They have red laces and whatever. And the phrase, rock the holidays.
All right.
Yeah. Your comment?
Nothing. They're shoes that say.
Did you not hear what I said?
Rock the holidays.
Black boots, red laces. The phrase "rock the holidays"
on the boot.
No, just on the billboard, just right up there. Rock the slug line. The advertising. Rock the. You're not getting this.
I don't understand.
The overt and obvious racism? Actually, it's worse. It's white supremacy.
Rock? Like rock and roll? Rock
yeah.
holidays?
Yeah. It's not so much the phrase. It's the close-up of the black boots with red laces. It's overt white supremacy.
Are black and red the white supremacist national colors?
That's what's being claimed. People in Portland, which, by the way, I don't know if you know about Portland, Oregon. It's pretty crazy progressive.
Mm-hmm.
People saw the billboard and began melting down, saying that that is a white supremacy symbol.
Really?
What, black and red? Doc Martin boots with red laces specifically is a white supremacy symbol. The Southern Poverty Law Center lists Doc Martens with red or white laces in the racist skinhead glossary.
I didn't know there was a glossary of racist skinhead glossary, huh?
Randy Blazak, chair of Oregon's Coalition Against Hate Crime, says the idea is that you graduate from white laces to red laces once you've killed somebody, once you've spilled someone's blood as part of your white supremacist actions. Doc Martens, what white supremacists wear is what they're saying, specifically the boots, the Doc Martin, black Doc Martin boots, and you have the white laces, but then after you spill their blood, and you switch to the red ones. So they're melting down over this.
So the color is black and red in general, or only on these boots is what's white supremacist?
On these boots, because it's specifically those. Now, back 30 years ago, there was some white supremacist activity in Oregon. There was even a pretty high-profile case, a case of white supremacy and you know, violence. So that's fine. That was 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Did you know that Doc Martens are to some people, symbol of white supremacy?
No, I did not.
Nor did I.
I am not in the know.
So my comment to those of you who are spreading this online and outraged by this on social media and protesting is stop it. Stop it. You are so short-sighted, you don't even realize you're hurting your own agenda or alleged agenda of equality. That you want to stop violence and racism and hate, yet you're continuing this nonsense. See, for those of us who don't know it's a symbol of white supremacy, and by no, I still say that cautiously because I'm not sure it is. I'm just going by your claims. For Cal and I that don't know that, that means when we see the billboard, we go, oh, Doc Martens are rocking the holidays. I like those boots, or I don't like those boots, or I don't notice it at all. We're not going, Doc Martens rocked up. Racism, skinhead. Why? Because we don't know. And to those of you that do know, you're either for it or against it. So if you do know, wink, wink, that that's what it stands for, are they changing your mind? Are they going to change the mind of white supremacists if they're really doing this? By you objecting to it. If they take the billboard down and they're going to like, you know what, guys? No more lynching black folk.
Oh, okay.
We can no longer, I've seen the error of my ways because they're not advertising the Doc Martens anymore. You're not going to change them with this nonsense. If people actually know that. And for people like you, if you're one of the ones that's outraged by these, are you going to change your mind? No. You're causing more confusion and clutter and garbage. Stop it. Knock it off. You're only making things worse. And by the way, Doc Martens didn't ask for any of this nonsense. It's simply a company that's trying to sell some footwear. This guy, Randy Blazak, or whatever his name is, Coalition Against Hate Crime, says that they've actually done a pretty good job to try to distance themselves over the years, but he's surprised they would allow an ad like this to be displayed. They're not doing it. They're advertising their boots. So you can never advertise with red shoelaces? Do they have to be all black ones? And they're going to claim, oh, that's somehow some other form of racism? Stop it! For the love of Pete, stop it! You're only making it worse.
Glenn Beck. Glenn.
Glenn Beck.
Die, we're getting a lot of tweems, memes with hashtag best Al Franken memes. Did one. Remember the selfie of Geraldo Rivera? He took in the mirror in his bathroom with the red glasses and his shirt off.
The inappropriate one, yeah.
As Al Franken grabbing him. They just retweeted. That's from Chris. He had a couple of good ones that I retweeted. One of them was Caitlyn Jenner. You know, nobody's done the Vanity Fair Caitlyn Jenner picture. This is a different one.
Oh, that's
I'm shocked nobody did that one with Al grabbing her. Somebody with Triggly Puff, they did that one.
I've seen everything from the Statue of Liberty to
all kinds of Someone just
Chris Christie.
Someone put words or text over the picture of him grabbing the woman on the plane.
The woman accused him, yeah.
Right. They just took that picture and they put, "It's okay, I'm a Democrat." That from conservative jackhole. That's a real solid one as well. You're all in the running for our prize tomorrow morning. Finally, somebody did, and it was Sleevey McSleeveface tweeted one of Al with hands out grabbing Chris Christie sitting in the lawn chair on the beach. Remember when he closed all the beaches, but he went to the beach?
He's the only one out on the beach.
He's the only one to the beach. So they did that one. Those were all really good. Get those in with the hashtag best Al Franken meme, and you're in the running for a prize we'll draw tomorrow morning on the Blaze Radio Network. Between 6 and 9 a.m. Eastern time. Also, I will be in for Glenn all week except Thursday. Friday on the program, Black Friday, we will be on the air, and we're going to be giving you some free commercials.
Ooh.
Last couple of Black Fridays I've done this. I mean, it's Black Friday. People have kind of a different attitude. And during our morning broadcast, we always try to help promote businesses. We're in this to help you because we believe the entrepreneurial spirit and people building America with businesses and side jobs and that character that comes with hard work is good for all of us. So we want to help your business out, and we usually spotlight business, giving them free commercials during our morning show. We will do that Friday morning on this, the Glenn Beck program. So make sure we'll give you 60 seconds to promote your business Friday after Thanksgiving.
Glenn Beck.